Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Should more be done to help working parents with after-school care? A school in Dublin has stated that they are closing the doors to their after-school in September. Parents are now worried that they have to either adjust their working hours or even quit their jobs. Nowadays, of course, typically both parents are needed to work to make a living. I'm joined now by Mary McCarthy, columnist for the Irish Independent, to discuss her recent article, which is raising awareness around this issue. Mary, your article made me feel seen. Oh my God, what to do with the kids when 2 o'clock or half two rolls around? Tell us exactly why you wanted to write this piece.
Okay, well, Karen, I feel we've gone past the stage where the Department of Education need to start looking at a national after a school care programme. So at the moment, it's up to the school, to the individual school and their board of management if they want to let outside providers come in and provide this. And actually, schools are getting better. Like if you talk to parents around the country, there's a school there in Cabinteely, for instance, they brought in aftercare there in September. They never had it before. It's changed the world of those parents because you can go and look for a job then if you know you've got dependable, reliable aftercare, especially for that hour, like the junior hour with the baby infants and the senior infants.
And you're walking back up twice.
It's
or do you
madness.
Wait in the park? If it's a rainy day, where do you wait for that hour? I know, I've been there.
And actually in our school, because there's nothing in our school, a lot of people drive in and out because there's nowhere really to wait. And if it's lashing rain, so it's kind of an environmental thing as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just feel like, okay, not every parent wants to work. Maybe they've got a young child at home, but there should be the option. You should be able to. It shouldn't be. It's too important to leave it up to the individual school. So I think what the government should do is like get a kind of program together where they encourage schools, they talk to schools, they say to schools, look, we'll facilitate you. What are the obstacles? Like survey your parents and your prospective parents, ask parents what they want, and we'll help you to try and make sure it happens. Because what you have now, Karen, is you've got fewer women in Ireland working than the OECD average, right? And lower income mothers work less. As a result, then parents kind of are stressed because, well, the ones that are working are stressed because they have to cobble together all sorts of different childcare if there's no childcare at the school. And listen, I know school isn't childcare. Someone's going to ring in and say, teachers aren't child minders. Yeah. And they're not. And I'm not saying teachers should be minding the kids, although I do think the school day is very short compared to other countries.
I
and that hour
that.
As well is kind of archaic.
Yeah.
But it's not about the teachers. It's about bringing in, you know, all those childminders that do pick up, for instance, why can't they come into the school, do it? You know, just make it easier for parents, for kids as well. Like, they don't want to be carted off to a different creche than their pals. You know, there's a kid in my school and he gets picked up by a creche and he's used to it now, but at the start he was like, but everyone else is getting picked up by their grannies or their mammies. And so it's just make life easier for parents. Our birth rate, like Karen, you know what? In about 10 years, our primary school population is expected to fall a fifth, which is 100,000.
Wow.
So schools are going to have to start attracting.
And you know, it's I've been here, right? So it is a shock to the system. I was lucky enough to have all three of mine in creche when I was working kind of, you know, 9 to 5 roughly hours, you know. It's a shock to the system when then suddenly you're faced with a pickup at 1:30. And like that, you're kind of cobbling together a granny pickup, a childminder pickup, or are you like that? Are you introducing a new person into your house like this childminder? Like, we kind of underestimated how tricky that was going to be, suddenly having a new person in the house when they were kind of used to a creche setup. It's just a nightmare for parents. And I think what you said in this article is that parents constantly feel in emergency mode, and one sick day or one cancellation of an after school activity just topples the cart.
Exactly. It's not, we don't have dependable and reliable aftercare. I mean, some schools do, like there are private providers who are.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we don't know how many schools. This is what flummoxed me.
Yes.
I asked the department and they said, look, we don't know because they don't have to report into us. So nobody knows what's the percentage. Just 20% of schools offer this. Does 50%, just 5%, we don't know. But also there's another, like for kind of kids who maybe wouldn't have, they don't come, like maybe they wouldn't do after school activities like drama or whatever. Like if you could have a dependable, reliable, like kind of, you know, affordable after school care, and you could kind of weave in those activities. I mean, the government have them. The National Childcare Scheme is brilliant. They pay, they subsidised already, right? So that kind of brings the cost down by maybe 20% or so. But they could put more into that subsidy, they get it back, Karen, with an extra tax take, you know.
Tell us about the parents that you were speaking to from Grace Park Educate Together, the national school in Drumcondra, because they are facing a dire situation come September.
They are, and I feel very sorry for them. Like, my school have no aftercare, so as a result, we've all adapted to that, yeah. Okay? But this school in Drumcondra, they've had it now, the school set up in 2016, so they've had some form of aftercare because it's grown now. The school is now a fully blown school. So they've had fully fledged aftercare provided by First Steps, I think it is. And for the last 3 years, it's been like, you can, it's from when school finishes to 6 o'clock.
Wow.
So you've 70 families doing that. And then you've got, I think it's 25 families doing the junior air.
Right.
So this is going to be like a grenade into their, because they have, I mean, I've spoken to some of the parents, they have full-time jobs.
Yeah.
They have mortgages. This is all now up in the air. So I think it's very, very tricky for them. And I don't think it's right that their board of management can just say, oh, well, look, we're not going to make this happen. You know?
I know, then you're in panic mode. Kate is on the line. Kate, why did you get in touch with us this afternoon? Will you be affected by this?
Hi, Karen. Yeah, I'm one of the parents who currently use the after school there, First Steps. And it's, geez, it's a brilliant service. We're so delighted with it. They're so flexible. They're so great with the kids. You know, we couldn't really ask for more from the provider. They're great. It's a local businesswoman. She's just fantastic with everybody. And it's been an absolute godsend to us. We're two working parents and we just know we don't have to worry. The kids are there. Any of the, you know, any parent will know a random 11 o'clock finish or a 12 o'clock finish. We don't have to worry about it. First Steps are there. They're taking them straight away. And for those funny midterm breaks and everything.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We just were told then in, well, first a tender was put out. We were told it was just, you know, for good governance purposes, they were going to do a proper tender because they'd never really done it. And it was for the full after school service. And that was grand. We were all fine with that. And we were told there was a successful candidate. And then within a couple of weeks, we were told, no, the board of management wouldn't be facilitating the provider to come in and provide the service from September. And it just left absolutely floundering.
Well, what did they say? Why won't they help? Well, I don't understand.
We don't really understand ourselves. There's been kind of varying reasons. There was mention of wear and tear at first. And then because the school is now at capacity, so previous to this, now the school is a massive brand new building, like it's state of the art, it's absolutely huge, and this is the first time they've all the classrooms have been in use. So for the previous, up till this year, they used an empty classroom upstairs for the after school, mm-hmm. And that was all fine, and this year now that classroom is being used by the sixth class. So they've used a mixture of, you know, the library, there's a beautiful roof garden, they go outside, there's the hall, you know, there's other spaces they've kind of made use of, and then they rotate between the classrooms.
Yeah.
So they're doing it this year, but we were then being told that, well, because the school was at full capacity, they can't facilitate it anymore.
Oh, God, I get it. Okay. Tanya, you're also being affected by this. Are you there, Tanya? This must have been a blow for you as well, this closure.
Yeah, absolutely, Karen. And, you know, we're looking at either my husband or I will have to reduce our working hours because of this, but we're some of the luckier parents in this situation. There are others who can't do that, maybe because their organisation won't facilitate it or their roles aren't amenable to it. So absolutely, it has been a bit of a grenade for everybody involved.
And what's your plan then come September? If this closure goes ahead, what are you going to do? Like, are your employers amenable to you reducing hours? I mean, working from home doesn't really work. I know I try and work from home and I still have a kid ping-ponging in and out, asking me for snacks and this and that. Like, it's just not really doable.
No. And it's almost, you know, a lot of parents are talking about doing the juggle. So it's almost like you're going back to COVID times then, where
yes,
you are trying to work from home, but your kids might be at home as well. And then people will likely have to have kids on devices or in front of the TV because they're trying to take calls and work, you know, and all of us have personal and we read in the media the negative effects that had for people.
And
so it's problematic for families from that point of view. But it's also, you know, we're parents, but we're also, you're a parent yourself, Karen, we're
yeah,
TV presenters, we're journalists, as Mary is, nurses, accountants, teachers, psychologists, engineers and everything. We're educated, skilled professionals who want to work, who are motivated to work. And it's just really hard to believe that in a developed country with a healthy economy, there's a chance that people can't do that purely because of a lack of available childcare.
Absolutely. Avril Sheenan is a childcare provider. She joins us on the line. I mean, Avril, there just isn't the support that working parents need, is there really, in this country?
There absolutely isn't. It's actually a disgrace, being honest. I use actually the infant hour in my local primary school, even though I'm a childcare provider in the area.
Yeah,
I don't do after school. I had after school set up and it was really, really busy. And I had three 11-seater buses collecting from the schools.
Wow.
So the need is there without a shadow of a doubt. I had to stop because I couldn't get the staff and I couldn't get girls with full licenses to drive 11-seater buses to collect. And they were all out at the same time. Now, I've also sat on a board of management and I'm only off that board in the local school. And we did bring in the infant hour and the after school care, which was welcomed.
Yeah.
Parents are really, really struggling. But in saying that, there's a whole load of logistics that go with it. The wear and tear is a huge thing. Not every school has a holler to accommodate them. Mm. Then schools don't want to use the classrooms because obviously these children are going to be there till 6 o'clock and it's more academic stuff inside in the room and they're putting away toys or putting away, you know, all the books and the projects off the windowsills and stuff like that, so that it's a lot of hassle. Then it's a staffing issue as well. There's nobody out there that wants to work in the afternoon really for 20 hours in the week, you know, to do from the 2 to 6 and whatever like that. So staffing was an issue as well, but the wear and tear was a huge thing and having the space available. And sometimes you have to have kitchenette units as well. Now, this isn't a regulation or anything like that, but just good practice.
Yeah, because so, you have to feed the kids as well, presumably, do you, if they're going to be there till 6 o'clock?
Say that again, sorry.
You'd have to provide a meal as well, would you, for kids?
Well, you'd only have to, well, it's good practice if a child is in your service more than 5 hours. That goes for after school or full daycare. They have to have a hot meal. Now, you could come across, you know what I mean, Little Dinners or any one of those agencies you could bring in. But then there's a big cost, you know, associated with that. And where do you store that food? Where do you, you know, refrigerate that food and all that? So it's not just as easy. It is, like, I just think I'd be lost. I'd be lost without the infant hour because for me, I'm down at 1:30, I'm down at 2:30, and I have to go back down again at 4 o'clock to collect my daughter from the bus.
Yeah.
So like for me, if I wasn't self-employed, I don't know what I could do.
Yeah,
I don't know what I do.
Exactly. When I was working full-time on Ireland AM, I would come off air at 10 o'clock, try and get home for a nap. I'd be up at 1:30 to get the littlest guy from junior infants, bring him to the park for 50 minutes, hardly worth going, and then back again, get the older guy. And honestly, I was just delirious by the end of it. Now, thankfully, I got the heads up. By the time number 3 came along, I had her name down. But like that, there's so few spots to take the kids that want to avail of the service, or the parents that need to avail of the service. A texter in here says, "Hi, I'm a childcare provider and not taking on any new school age children as we are completely booked out. Places are closing down and places are becoming very scarce. Parents' fees can also go up when children start school as they are losing out on ECI and NCS hours." Another texter says, "Totally disagreed that the school day should be longer. It's not the teacher's fault that parents have to work. Have any of you taught a class of 30 kids for 6 hours? Oh my God, I agree. I could not do that job. You were saying, Mary, you've experience of the British model. What was the school day like over there?
Yes, Karen. So before my kids were 4 years in the British system. So I was used to them going to school till 3:30 every day because that's what the junior infants and the senior infants do over there.
And did you feel that was too long a day for your littlest?
No, not at all. They loved it. And they did more activities. They did more. There was more time for lunch, number one. Like, they had more playtime.
Yeah.
And there was more kind of speech and drama, and it, like, incorporated into the day. And that's how it is over in the UK. That everyone goes, and Northern Ireland as well. You go to the same hours as the older. Like, that's what you do from the get-go.
Yeah.
So when I moved back to Ireland, I had 3 in primary and then I had 1 in creche. So I was like you, like a blue arse fly running around.
4, you're my hero.
Well, I didn't work now, Karen. I didn't work for years. You know, I was 10 years out of the workforce.
You were working hard at home.
So I was just quite surprised. It's just something that really struck me because they'd been managing grand till 3:30 and then I suddenly, my son was in till 1:10, you know, and I just felt there's a real disconnect with what are women supposed to do. Are they? And I'm just saying women now, it is some men as well, that they don't work more and more. But it's mainly a feminist issue, this school hours, because how are you supposed to work when the school hour is 4 hours and 40 minutes for the junior and 5 hours 40? And teachers work really, really hard.
Yeah,
this is
not
about teachers.
No.
It's not about teachers. I'm talking about after school care, although I do think the school day should be extended a little bit, but it's after school care. So it's not about the teachers. It's about what you do around that. Avril was talking there about obstacles. And she was saying that, you know, the schools maybe don't want outsiders coming in. And I think there's a sense of they want to control their school. I totally understand that. But I think that control needs to be relinquished now. I think the use of the school buildings now is actually, and, you know, it should be up to the department to make sure that they're being used. Mm-hmm. And then also she was saying that there's a shortage of staff. Well, what about students? What about graduates? Like, there's loads of students in UCD, or, you know, you could set up some kind of
But would you just hand your child over to a UCD? Do you mean like
in the school?
But would that student be studying childcare though?
Well, do you know what?
Or are they like babysitters, basically?
Well, I mean, this is what we need, babysitters, right?
Listen, like, when you're stuck, you will hand your child over to anyone who crosses your front door.
If you had someone who was trained and then they could have helpers, like, you know, you could be a university student to come in and do 20 hours a week. You'd be delighted with that.
Yeah. Texter here says, my kids went to school in New York City. They'd after school until 6:30. We had to pay $150 a month per child for the service, which was very affordable. They just used teachers or teachers' aid and paid them extra. Yeah, really good point. Where do we go from here then? What do parents do, like, if they just don't have an after school facility?
Well, they either they work part time, or they don't work at all. They take some years out. They have a nervous breakdown. I mean, like, they just cobble it together. I mean, I definitely would have probably got kind of a full time job if I had had aftercare, for instance, just using my own. Kind of, but it's just not been feasible. You know, it's too much of a strain.
Yeah. You know? And I know my kids, when they went to school, I remember saying like the length of the school day, but because they'd been used to being in crèche till about 5:30, they couldn't believe their luck getting home at like 2:30 in the afternoon. Look, my heart goes out to all the parents affected by this closure. It is so tricky. The whole childcare issue, it's never, ever easy, and it's not getting any easier for anyone. Ladies, thank you all so much for joining me on the line this morning and discussing this topic.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.